Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. It is Friday, November 16th. I'm Jeff Crisco. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm doing as well as Robert Tonyan catching his first touchdown.
Oh, yeah. The sheepish shrug. Like, sorry, fantasy owners. I know I'm not Jimmy Graham. Sorry, I didn't help you out there. So, yeah, we're recording this one in the morning. So if we sound a little either more tired or less tired, that's why. Instead of doing it in the evening, we're doing it in the morning because I'm headed out to Lake Tahoe in about my pup, my wife, some friends. It'll be a good time. Today we are joined. He was here before for the Battle Royale, and I think that he was here two times before. It's Evan Hoovler from the Football Absurdity website. Evan, how are you today?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You didn't answer the question.
I'm doing okay, except I live in the Seattle area, and so the day after Seattle wins, I got to put up with a bunch of people wearing Seattle jerseys, most of which still have the tags on them. So,
that's why they have the 12th fan jersey, is because the Seahawks fans can just, you know, say, oh, yeah, no, I'm my favorite Seahawks player.
Oh, that makes perfect sense because I can't name any of them.
Exactly. They're like, Marshawn Lynch still around? Is he still on the team?
Or they think Chris Carson's a game show host or something.
Yeah. He's their favorite Seattle area game show host. So Evan joins us today because we're going to have a little extra segment in addition to what we usually do, which is we go over Thursday Night Football a little bit. We pick some sleepers for the week, and we go over every game. Evan wants us to talk about, he wants us to dwell in our own pain. Talk about kind of, I don't know, Evan, how would you describe it?
Dwell in your own pain. That's it. That's my style. That's what I bring to the table, is getting overly emotional about unimportant stuff.
There you go. It's times that we felt bad about calls that we made or advice that we gave and stuff like that. So, that's going to be hard for me because I kind of have this feeling of like, hey, you know what? You make the best choice that you can, but things happen. But I do have a couple moments that I still feel very bad about. So before we kick that off, we'll talk about Thursday Night Football. So it was actually a good one, which is funny because for the website, I do Thursday Night Farceball, which is all the weird, bad things that happened. And you know, it started off thinking that it was going to be great because what happened on the first play of the game, guys? Chris Carson fumble. But then it actually turned into a pretty good game. It was a nice back. Even though both quarterbacks at times kind of seemed almost drunk, like in the decisions they were making and their balance on the field. What did you guys think about that? I seemed to have a take last night about Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers was not checking the ball down to Aaron Jones. There were many times when Seattle just wasn't covering. They dared him to throw to the middle of the field, and Aaron Jones would be wide open, especially on one of those first downs they were trying to convert. And Aaron Rodgers had protection and just couldn't be bothered to look to the side and see Aaron Jones. I don't know if Mike McCarthy started some horrible rumors about Aaron Jones, so he's on the outs, or what's going on. But Mike McCarthy, his play calling was horrible too. They need to impale him on the field goal post at Lambeau, just as a warning to future coaches. I'm emotional.
Wow. All right. Evan calling for the drawing and quartering of, and piking of, Mike McCarthy. Mike, do you think that maybe Aaron Rodgers got in his own head because of the playoff game a few years ago where the Seahawks came storming back? Because it seemed to me like he was trying to go for the deep shot every time, which kind of flexes with what Evan was saying, where he was saying that he wouldn't check it down. He was trying to go bomb it out every time. So do you think maybe he got in his own head about that?
You know, as much as I'd like to say that that's probably a possibility, I don't think so. I think that a lot of these professionals been there, done that, and they learn to forget and forgive what transpired, especially being a few years ago. So I just think Evan has a great point. I just think McCarthy is not drawing up the plays the way they should be. And
Mike, we lost you there for a second.
That's a good point. Why would McCarthy
punt it's a game that doesn't work? People like you. I'm sorry.
Back to you. I was just filling in space. Back to you, Mike.
we lost you there for a sec, Mike.
Oh, we did. Oh, dang it. Okay. Hopefully it's not my internet. So yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just bad play calling, pretty much. That I think that's just pretty much what it comes down to. And I think Evan nailed it with that, is that McCarthy is not calling the plays the way that they should. And there's no way this offense of the Packers should be playing as poorly as it is.
What would you have called on the 4th and 2 where they punted with one timeout to a Seattle team that had been running through them with 4 minutes left? What play would you have called there? Would you have punted it?
I would not have punted it. I didn't agree with it. As soon as I saw it, the Seattle offense was hot. They were driving, and as you said, they couldn't stop the run for anything. So at worst, you're getting the ball back with like, you know, a minute 20. And down at your own position if you do stop them. So yeah, I don't agree with that at all. I think you go for it. You got the offense. Seattle's defense isn't, you know, they're solid, but they're not anywhere near what they used to be. And you put up what 20 something points on them already. Why not go for it? You have the weapons, but you know, there's McCarthy again.
You're already a better head coach than Mike McCarthy. You can report to 1265 Lombardi Avenue, Green Bay, Wisconsin. See if you can, you know, let Mike know that, you know, you're the superior Mike when it comes to play call.
I like that. I'll take that.
Yeah. There was one huge fantasy takeaway from last night. Aaron Jones, he's kind of arrived. It's his backfield there in Green Bay. There's also the great, MBS disappearance, and Jimmy Graham got hurt. Looks like he left the game, and I don't think he ever made it back. I think he hurt his hand.
Yeah, he did, and he didn't make it back. And so it's Robert Tonyan. Yeah,
it's Mercedes Lewis. You know, the real beasts of Lambeau. So MVS, do you guys think it was a one game aberration, because he'd been getting targets the last couple games? Or do you think it was game plan specific, or do you think it was the shifting from Marquez Valdes-Scantling to maybe Aaron Jones being the secondary focal point of the offense behind Davante Adams?
I recall playing this wide receiver 2 game for Green Bay for many years, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my gut feeling is, yeah, there are these games where you just goose egg, and there are the games where you get 10 targets for 3 touchdowns, and that's just the dice roll of the wide receiver 2 on the pack.
Yeah, I think that might be it. But I mean, we were able to have Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson there for a couple years. I think that's what people are trying to chase, but it could be just an evolution of the offense where, you know, I mean, he had one catch for 8 yards on 3 targets, and Davante Adams had, I think, 13 catches of 60 yards or more. At least that's what it felt like as an MVS owner, because Aaron Rodgers would bomb it downfield, and you know, because of the camera angles, I'm like, oh, please let this be MVS, because you know it's he's a deep shot artist. I'm like, oh yeah, here's MVS, and then it was Davante Adams again and again and again.
I even recall Randall Cobb putting up a 3-touchdown game and following it up with a one catch effort 2 or 3 years ago. I feel like this is just how Rodgers does it. You know, some of the best game managers will abandon a guy if it's not working. They won't force it. Maybe that's it. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, well, I think I'm successfully off the ledge. Mike, what do you think?
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at their stats now, and it seems like they pinpoint one player over the other depending on the game, because what I'm seeing now is when Scantling is targeted, Adams has a greater or shouldn't say a lesser target value, and then when Adams is targeted, then Valdes-Scantling has a lesser value. So it's almost like like last night, Adams had 10 targets and Valdez had 4. So it interchanges in that way, where I think prior to last night, Adams only had, I think, like 8 targets in 2 games, where Scantling had 6 and 7 and 8 in those kind of, in that kind of range. So it just seems like they're targeting just one person downfield.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's been the Thursday Night Football recap. Rashad Penny. We forgot to talk about Rashad Penny, Chris Carson, Mike Davis. So get the bulk of the work with now that he's back. He had 17 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown. Mike Davis got worked in there on like third downs. And Rashad Penny was just sort of a change of pace back. So backfield there is still a mess. We thought maybe we might get some respite from it with the Chris Carson injury, but that dude's like a cockroach. He never goes away. Just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Do you guys think we can, in more shallow leagues, do you think Mike Davis is droppable given his role? Because he doesn't seem to have any stash value.
Our official company policy on Mike Davis is always droppable.
I think I put that in the write-up last week, was drop him forever. Mike, what do you think?
I think he's very much like J.D. McKissic, someone that shows up every once in a while and then disappears for 6 or 7 straight games. Yeah, he's just not valuable. This is definitely the Chris Carson, Rashard Penny show.
J.D. McKissic, who I got a notification right before the show started from the Sleeperbot app, which is a great app, saying that J.D. McKissic is coming back soon. So the backfield is going to get messier. So, all right. So that puts Thursday Night Football to bed. Next up, we will talk about our sleepers. Evan, I forgot to prep you with sleepers. Are you gonna want to get in on this action?
Sure thing.
Awesome. All right. So, so I think what we'll do is we'll start with Mike, and then Evan, and then myself. Since I have pre-written 3 sleeper things on every position, so I can go last. So you guys steal my things, we'll be good to go. So, Mike, who is your quarterback sleeper this week, in a week with 6 teams on bye? Just for reference, just so people know how desperate we are here for sleepers. We've got Buffalo, Cleveland, Miami, which has maybe, 3 fantasy relevant players between them. But then New England is a big one. Jets have Isaiah Crowell, and the Niners, you're missing Kittle, Breida, the GOAT, Nick Mullins. So, I mean, 6 teams on bye, it's not a small feat. So, Mike, who is your sleeper quarterback this week?
This week, I'm going with Eli Manning. And he's owned in 50% of the league. So, after this week, he probably won't be available anymore. And for a few reasons. One, he has a great matchup this week. So, that is benefit number one. And he has played well in streaming options. So against San Francisco and Atlanta, he scored 20 points. And Carolina and Houston, he scored 19. So he's doing well when it comes down to streaming options. And I think this is one of those fine times for that situation to happen for him. And then the other thing is that not only does he have a great matchup with Tampa Bay, but the Bucs have given up a lot of volume to passers, and they like to give up passing points. So, as I said, great matchup, and that's the reason why.
So, Mike, would you say that they like to do it, or is it something that they're just very bad at stopping?
I wouldn't say that they enjoy giving up all those passing points and yards. I would more lean towards the fact that they just suck on defense.
Oh, okay. They're bad. Okay. I thought maybe there was like a make-a-wish sort of deal where they're giving away, you know, points and everything.
Free comfort is like Oprah or something. Everybody gets points.
You get a point. You get a point. You get a passing touchdown. All right, Evan, who is your sleeper quarterback this week?
All of the pieces seem to be in place for a classic retro Blake Bortles. A high-scoring fantasy game.
Or
Pittsburgh's coming in there. Pittsburgh's going to demolish them. And
I think it's going to be one of those four touchdown, four interception games that Bortles does, because from the second quarter on, he's probably going to be just chucking it deep every single time. I think you could do worse than him, especially in two quarterback leagues where you have that second quarterback that you want to go boom, boom, bust on maybe. I like that.
All right. So question for you. So you mentioned like four interceptions, four touchdowns, you know, throws for a million yards, but it's all in garbage time. I'll give you a sec to look this up if you want to, but is Ryan Fitzpatrick Blake Bortles' father?
Yes.
Yes.
That was okay. A surprise reveal. We've gone from Oprah to Maury all of a sudden.
as long as we don't end up being Jerry Springer, I think we'll be okay.
Jerry.
Never mind then.
I'm not seeing my thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick being Blake Bortles' father is I'm not seeing the hairy ape man-ness of Blake Bortles.
Well, he's rebelling. He doesn't want to be his dad. So Blake Bortles is you know, he shaves like three times a game.
That must piss off Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, he's abandoning his lineage. He's trying to pretend like Ryan Fitzpatrick is not his father, but we all know the truth.
Being in a razor blade commercial is going to be like posing for pornography in that family.
Yikes.
And it gets you booted out of the house.
You know, I don't know what a razor blade commercial is, but I know it when I see it. Twice. Wow.
Anti-suicide. Anti-suicide. It's a noble effort.
On that note, my sleeper this week, guy owned in 46% of leagues, a guy that I hyped up going into the year on a team that I hate. Dallas Cowboys, that'd be Mr. Dak Prescott. He's got Amari Cooper now. It bumps, you know, when Cole Beasley is no longer your top target, that's usually a good thing. Yeah. so now he's got, I mean, not the best receiving core, but he's got a competent receiving core with Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley is a fine, like, slot guy sort of deal, like what the slot guy used to be before the Patriots turned it into a super position and everybody followed suit. But this has more to do with his opponent this week, the Atlanta Falcons. They allow their top five in points allowed to quarterbacks. They are a complete mess. So the worst game that they've allowed by fantasy points was Eli Manning throwing for 399 yards and one touchdown. The best game was 216 yards and three touchdowns last week. I crunched some numbers on this one, and they allow 150 more yards, 1.6 more touchdowns, and 12 more fantasy points at home than on the road. So you think of your average quarterback game, like 200 yards, one or two scores, dump pretty much, you know, 75% of that back on top, and that's your average Falcons game at home for quarterbacks. So I think Dak Prescott will do well. I think it'll be a shootout. The only thing that'll really keep him from potential fantasy glory is if they just jam the ball to Zeke all the time, which I don't think they'll do because they just traded for Amari Cooper, and Jerry Jones likes to not only have his toys but show them off. So I think that it'll be they can throw all over the Falcons, so they will. And since week six, I forgot to mention too, Prescott has been the number 10 quarterback. So it's not like the last couple games have been a flash in the pan. He's actually played well for over a month now. All righty. So now that we've got the quarterbacks out of the way, I take your guys' silence as complete utter agreement with Dak, right?
I'm just surprised he's not owned in less than 50% of the leagues.
He is on Yahoo, baby.
That's what I was doing as I was wasn't talking because I was looking him up, wondering that exact same thing.
See, here's the key. What you do is you look at the numbers as early in the week as possible, and then you never look at them again. That's that's the key to making sure guys are owned in less than 50% of leagues.
There it is, 47%. Yeah.
Hey, he gained 1% from when I looked at this. So, alrighty. So those are the quarterbacks. Yeah, there's always one. So there's always one guy, because I do this every week, you know, with the 50% ownership, there's always one guy that jumps between like 53 and like 45% ownership. He just jumps back and forth every week. So some weeks he can't qualify. Some weeks he does. The classic one of these has been Andy Dalton. For a long time, he was just going between like 53, 45, just bouncing back and forth. So For a while there, a couple of years ago, it was Matt Stafford when he was up and down before he's complete down now. But yeah, there's always one guy that you're like, really? That guy's available? I think there's got to be some sort of demographic thing on Yahoo where 10-team leagues make up around like 50% of the leagues. I think that's their default, and I think that's why there's a guy like that in, every year. So that's been Jeff's grandstanding for Ownership Corner. All right, Mike, who is your... Actually, you know what? We'll switch it up. Evan, who is your wide receiver sleeper this week?
This week, I think there's some good wide receiver sleepers. If you need... I like to do it in two ways. Number one, if you need a home run hitter who might goose egg. And number two, if you need a high floor. And for home run hitters, there's a lot of buzz, even though he goose egged last week, there's a lot of buzz for Tre'Quan Smith in New Orleans. We're playing Philadelphia, who's bottom five in terms of yardage received. If that's a little too scary for you, any Jacksonville receiver, because of previous reasons, has a chance to go for two touchdowns. I also think in terms of floor, Brandon LaFell's got at least three, and I'm going kind of deep here because we're doing wide receiver. Brandon LaFell, 1% owned in Yahoo leagues. He's gotten three catches or more in the last three games, and he's playing Arizona this week. I don't see Patrick Peterson wanting to shadow him because he's not a major threat. I think if you need to put a flex in that gets you 8 points, I think you could do better, especially in deeper leagues. These are all for deeper leagues. Most of my leagues are 14-team leagues. So if there's someone better, put them in. But if you're looking for that guy, or if you're in the fishbowl where we have 36 teams and each person has 21 players, I think these guys won't leave you disappointed. They'll get you where you want to go.
Yeah, the fishbowl where I've had Mike Gillisley rostered all year because I keep going, well, I'm going to drop Mike Gillisley, and then there's no better option on the waiver wire. So you mentioned the Jacksonville wide receivers. There are a lot of them. So who do you think, I mean, shot in the dark, I mean, because they can't just pick up Jacksonville wide receiver as a position, which would be nice. We talking D.D. Westbrook, Keelan Cole. Are we talking, you know, Mike Sims-Walker, Cecil Shorts, Alan Hearns?
If he's still available, because he got picked up a bunch this week, but it looks like he's still in 20% of leagues, my number one would be Dante Moncrief. 98 yards and a touch last week, 7 targets the week before, 10 targets the week before that. He's really seemed to be coming into his own, and he seems to be the deep ball guy. Like I mentioned, I think Blake Bortles just going to chuck it and pray for three quarters this week. So I do want the deep ball guy if I'm going for that jackpot player. Obviously, D.D. Westbrook is doing all right in terms of targets in the year. He's averaging about 8 targets a game. That guy is probably the guy if you're looking more for a high floor than a high ceiling. I put him number 2. And I miss you, Keelan Cole. You were the number one receiver in the last 4 games last year, and it meant nothing.
Yeah, it meant nothing. I was so hyped on Keelan Cole. Mike, who's your wide receiver guy this week, your wide receiver sleeper?
My sleeper is the guy I went with last week, Mr. Chicago Bear. Tony Miller.
Good call on you last week, huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. He definitely came out and played well. And so yeah, I like when my sleepers do well, and I think he's going to do well this week as well. He's definitely caught on as rookie, maybe one of the better rookie wide receivers this year. I don't know if I'm skipping anybody, but right now I think he's on that trail, and he's getting no less than 6 targets in his last 4 games. So he might not be getting a lot of targets, but they're getting up there, and 6 will probably translate to 4 catches. Last week he caught, as we were talking about, 5 catches for 122 yards and a touchdown, which makes 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games. He has a tough schedule in his next 3, but when it gets down to playoff season for you guys, it's going to treat you nicely. So get through these next couple games that he has, and then after that, when the playoffs and championship comes around, he's going to be a nice play.
You made a couple good sleeper calls I noted last week. You also had Mariota against New England was your call, and he finished top eight. Well done.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is one of the things that I do is always look for players that are playing against San Francisco, because my Niners are super trash terrible. And championship week, week 16, Anthony Miller against the Niners. So if you want to watch him torch, I don't even know who the defensive backs are other than Richard Sherman, because they keep cycling out. If you want to watch him torch Richard Maben, I think is who's opposite him now. Anthony Miller's your guy. Good call, Mike. Actually, I wrote this week on Miller. I wrote kind of the same thing where I put him in the sleepers, but I'm like, okay, so Minnesota is a bad matchup, but you know, this is like a PSA, like his ownership is way too low. I can have my cake and eat it too, where I can say, hey, he's a good pickup, but he won't do well this week. So if he does do well this week, I'd be like, oh, perfect. But if he doesn't, I can be like, hey, look, I told you wouldn't, you know, be good this week. So it's called hedging your bets, and it's what smart people do. Breaking news, guys. I just got this alert on my phone. Yeah, everybody listens to podcasts that come out at intermittent times for breaking news. AJ Green officially ruled out for this weekend, which makes total sense because there was no chance that he was playing, but the Bengals were playing games with that. So what do you guys think that does with Tyler Boyd this weekend? Do you think he'll bounce back from the bad game, or is he just a number two wide receiver who needs AJ Green to take coverage away from him?
I'm actually editing your piece on Tyler Boyd right now. It's right in front of me, so I'm going to have it open so I don't step on any of your points. Cincinnati is...
You can just read it.
I should totally have just read it. Oh, missed the point, missed the bit. Okay. Cincinnati is a horrible piece of garbage that is incinerated and slowly ashes blowing in the wind across the Central California Valley. It's tough to get behind that offense, that whole team. However, I don't think he's a bad flex or wide receiver too, because they are going to be trailing Baltimore, and he is the only deep threat. Well, John Ross, but John Ross catches one pass a game. So I would shy away from him if you've got some great guys, but if you have to start him, I wouldn't be too disappointed personally. That's a tough team to root for, though.
All right. First of all, Cincinnati's nothing like the fire in Central California, because that place is called paradise, and Cincy was never paradise. Mike, what do you think about the about Tyler Boyd this week with AJ Green being out?
Yeah, I don't like it at all. He's been slipping too in the last few games. He's not been performing like he did in the first four games. So not only is he slipping, but without AJ Green, I think he's one of those TJ Houshmandzadeh kind of players where you're a superstar as long as you got a superstar wide receiver next to you.
All right. So that's breaking news. So if you got the breaking news from us, please pay more attention to what's going on around you, because you shouldn't be getting your breaking news from podcasts. My guy this week is a guy that I keep going back to, coming off a hamstring injury. The Texans traded for a wide receiver in Demaryius Thomas, but I'm not scared. It's Kiki QT. The only thing that I fear is that his hamstring injury might limit him, or he might pull it again, pull a Leonard Fournette or a Dalvin Cook like they did this year. But I was looking at, so Will Fuller goes down. They trade for Demaryius Thomas, but Demaryius Thomas doesn't do the same type of things that Will Fuller does. The guy who does the same type of things as Will Fuller, granted not as big and strong, but still capable of doing them, is Kiki QT. While Kiki QT, Will Fuller, and Nuke Hopkins were all on the field together, Kiki actually averaged more targets per game than Will Fuller. So, you know, people are afraid that Demaryius Thomas is going to funnel targets away from Kiki QT. I think that actually, you know, he will have that Will Fuller role. So you're looking at 5, 6, 7 targets a game, sort of deeper balls that the average depth of target will help him out with his fantasy production. So I'm not worried about them or about Demaryius Thomas. I am worried about the hamstring a little bit. But he gets Washington this week, who they allow eighth most fantasy points to wide receivers. And every game this season, they've allowed an average of two wide receivers to have at least 9 fantasy points against them in half PPR. So, you know, there's going to be some excess production there behind DeAndre Hopkins this week. And I personally think that Kiki QT is going to soak it up. I think that they tried to get Demaryius Thomas more involved in the game against Denver because, you know, sort of an immediate revenge game. But I think he'll move back now that Kiki QT is coming back sort of into a wide receiver complementary role, kind of like a superpowered Pierre Garçon sort of deal, where he's a strong possession guy, good routes. But, you know, the bubble screen to Demaryius Thomas that got everybody so many yards is going to be far in the rearview mirror. And so
does it bother you, or how do you feel about the fact that QT got fewer targets in every game since his breakout game?
It doesn't bother me just because of the change in the wide receivers around him. And like I said, with Fuller and QT together, QT had more targets, and I think Fuller was out for that breakout game. So I'm not super worried about it. Just because with a shakeup in the wide receiver core, like losing Fuller and adding Demaryius Thomas, I'm going to kind of throw target trends out the window, except that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is, you know, one of the most targeted players in the entire NFL. And really, we're fighting over dregs. All right. Island. Alrighty, guys, let's pick this up a little bit since we're going a little bit slow here. So, we'll go back to Mike starting out. Mike, who is your running back sleeper this week?
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty boring this week, and I'm going Todd Gurley? Yeah, pick him up. He should be out there. I'm going with Josh Adams. Like I did last week as well. He's owned in 50% of leagues. So, like, all my guys, this is the last hurrah for like all my guys this week. So this will be the last time you guys hear me talk about him. But against the Cowboys, he had 7 carries for 47 yards. And the good news is Doug Peterson, the head coach there, says that Adams is definitely going to get more looks. He has a strong matchup against the Saints, so he should do well there. And the downfall, I think, right now, but it's such a small sample size, is he's not getting any kind of receiving targets. So if you're in a PPR league, that might be a little difficult to manage. And I don't see where, even if he could catch the ball, where he would fit in that, considering they have to use Wendell Smallwood and Darren Sproles is coming back, and they have all these little gadget backs that do catch the ball. So even if he's able to, I don't see it happening. So just, it will be definitely a standard type of league performance for you. But if you're in a desperate situation and you need a running back that is going to carry the ball, you know, on first and second downs, he's your guy.
All right. Not a bad call. He's been sort of like that, like you can see what you want to see out of him the last couple of weeks sort of deal. Like I believe in Josh Adams, so I'm seeing positive things like you've seen. But if you don't believe in him, you can be like, you know, trash, garbage. You know, he's got what, like 60 yards. So so Evan, who is your running back sleeper this week?
You mentioned the dregs, and I'm in a lot of large leagues where people always have to fight over scraps for running backs. So especially for those listeners, I've got someone owned in 0%, of Yahoo leagues, Stephen Ridley, the running back for Pittsburgh. He got 8 carries and a target last week. Bell, as we know, is out forever. And Connor was in the concussion protocol. There's a game script where Pittsburgh goes in, rolls Jacksonville, has put the game away early, and wants to protect Connor now that they know he's going to be their bell cow the rest of the year. And Ridley clearly cemented himself as the backup back last week. So if you're in a deep league where you need someone, I would go Ridley. I think he will get double-digit carries this week.
No Jalen Samuels, love?
No, because last week Ridley had the touches when they were down. Let me pull up Jaylen Samuels here. Yeah, he had the touchdown, but I'm just worried about grinding it. And I think that's when you're going for a running back. I don't know about you, but when I'm going for a running back in a deep league, I want the floor. I want the action, the touches, the work. So I would go Ridley over Samuels. But if you like excitement, which I don't, go Samuels.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that tight end eligibility. So, you know, a converted tight end isn't what you're looking for in your running back, huh?
Oh, wow, you're right. That tight end eligible is sneaky. So if you want to put him up, I think that's more of a stash play because, you know, you want him to start getting some scores and then you can slot him in and tight end. Well, you know, you're right. But that's more of a tight end decision and tight end is a wasteland. So I could definitely, yeah, Samuels if you need help at tight end, Ridley if you need help at running back.
There you go. Yeah.
I could walk the fence.
Hills has that designation because in college he was kind of just a Swiss Army guy back or Swiss Army guy period. They lined him up all over the field, tight end, running back, and he was just sort of a weapon sort of deal. So my guy this week definitely not as dregsy as Stevon Ridley. It's Theo Riddick. He's been back for a couple games now. He's the quintessential guy that's owned in like, you know, 15-16% of Yahoo leagues up to like 25%. This week it's 19%. This is strictly a PPR, half PPR play. He's got 13 catches in his last two games. Like, that's all you need to know. He doesn't have a lot of yards. He doesn't have a lot of touchdown upside, except, you know, in the past they have had goal line packages with them, which probably are going to go to carry on. But 13 catches in his two games back from injury. That's all I need to know about Theo Riddick as a PPR back, which is his specialty. This week they take on the Panthers, who are a pretty good matchup, but I mean a pretty good matchup for stopping him. So they're good on defense, as I said that in the most roundabout way possible. But only two running backs have five or more targets against Carolina, and they both notch double-digit fantasy days. So not a bad call or not a bad idea to plug Riddick in there if you're desperate. Like I said, he's out there in about 80% of Yahoo leagues. If you play in deep leagues like Evan, good luck because Theo Riddick is probably already owned. You could go with Evan's great call last week, see if you can keep it rolling in our Football Absurdity Fam Duel lineup. He put Spencer Ware in, who scored a touchdown. So props to Evan for that.
Sure enough, that certainly was a thing that happened.
I think he was in about 1% of lineups in our contest. So good for you.
I'm surprised. Why not start him? They had five or six designed running passing plays that they clearly had made planned around Spencer Ware 2 weeks ago. So I expected them to get more into the thing. That's the benefit of Game Pass, I guess. If you can actually watch the game, you can see what a target is not just a target when it's a clearly designed play for that individual.
That's right. And that reminds us, this episode is not brought to you by NFL Game Pass or anybody else. So if you want to change that, let us know.
I'm going to retroactively bill them.
Yeah, you should retroactively bill them. Just say, hey, I mentioned you on my podcast. And they go, I'm sorry, sir. This is a Wendy's drive-thru.
They love that.
Yeah. So, all right, on to tight ends. We'll start with Mike this time. Mike, again, who is your sleeper tight end for this week? Guy owned in fewer than 50% of leagues.
So we're going away from the borderline 50% guys, last guys that you're going to hear from for quite a while, to someone that you're going to hear for a long time. And that's Jeff Hero Heuermann. And he's only owned in 17% of leagues. I wanted to mention him last week, but they were on a bye. So I waited till this week and here he is. So 2 weeks ago they played Houston and he caught 10 passes on 11 targets for 83 yards and a touchdown. So he just blew it up, especially for a tight end. Unfortunately, you know, the yards per catch weren't all that great. Eight yards per catch is probably subpar for a tight end. You kind of want him in between the 10 and 12 range, but I'll take 10 catches. The thing is with Demaryius Thomas now in Houston, it was Harriman that obviously was the target. And the thing is with the Denver's offense, you have two running backs in Royce Freeman and you have Philip Lindsay, but neither of them are great pass catchers. So that's why they have Devontae Booker still on the roster. And he's sort of the third down kind of guy, but you can't just always just throw out Devontae Booker in the middle of the field whenever third down comes along. So I think that Harriman is going to be sort of that security blanket and is going to take over that Demaryius Thomas role where he gets some short to intermediate passes. With that said, you're going to look for more receptions and that kind of thing at your tight end. So I think he's a big up-and-comer. They have a great schedule with 4 of 6 games coming against teams that rank 26 or less in defense versus the position. So not only is he in a great spot and it's going to be relied on, but the schedule is very easy for him. So Jeff Harriman, tight end, owned in 17% of leagues.
All right, one question for you about Jeff Harriman. Is it spelled Jeff G-Y-R-O? Harriman?
Harriman?
Harriman? Like the sandwich? No?
Yeah.
Nobody?
Yeah.
Is it like Britain where the word Q, is his name really Jeff Human?
Just all, where every letter is silent in Great Britain? Just all of them are silent. You just say whatever you want.
Harriman.
Like, I'm sorry, it's pronounced Worcestershire.
my new team name is going to be Harriman now, dog.
Harriman now. That's great. That's awesome. That is great. Harriman now, dog. That's beautiful.
Just came up with it live. That's the magic you get.
I'm going to steal that and put that everywhere. All righty. So, Evan, who is your guy this week other than your wonderful Harriman nickname?
Well, you know, Jeff, I like to get drunk in the woods. Really drunk, like whiskey drunk. And my favorite thing to do when I'm drunk in the woods.
I call it Tuesday.
Excellent. That's why I live in Washington State. And one of my favorite things to do is in the middle of the night, go walking through the woods and then track my way back. Now, I say track my way back, but it's really just turning around and following the huge, gaping, man-sized holes in the brush I created by stumbling around drunk through the woods. And the reason why I bring that up is I feel like I, even in my drunk woods state, could get open on the Oakland Raiders, who have utterly given up all semblance of being a team or wanting to do their jobs. So I'm wondering, why is Ricky Seals-Jones, who, fellow drunk here, why is he not owned more than 30%? 30% of Yahoo leagues have Ricky Seals-Jones going against Oakland, who allows the 6th most points to tight ends. Ricky Seals-Jones got 9 targets last week. I think that's a slam dunk if you're trying to get out of this tight end apocalypse that's happened in 2018. That's my pick.
All right. Yeah. No. And I agree with both you guys, because just a quick look at my fantasy suits. Easy for you to say. My fantasy tight end sleepers this week got RSJ, Evan's partner in crime, quite literally. At number one. Number two, Jeff Harriman. That's by ownership. So I agree with both you guys there. But unfortunately, that means I have to go with my deep dive guy, Jonnu Smith, at your Colts. Mike, if there's one thing that defines a Colts game, it's tight end scoring, right?
Yeah, running and receiving.
Yeah, baby. Actually, my sleeper is Eric Ebron, just because I'm going to tout Eric Ebron I've been doing it for years. So he's going to be my permanent sleeper every single week. I don't care if he's 100% owned.
Eric, hey, I picked him up. I picked him up in a money league where I had 7th waiver wire priority. So he's technically not still on many people's radars.
93% owned. I mean, come on. I get Jack Doyle's back. I get the whole routes thing, targets thing, but they're manufacturing touches for him. He's the first, second, and third option in the red zone. Eric Ebron is good, guys. Eric Ebron is good. Anyways, that's my requisite Eric Ebron time. Back to Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith. So last year, we got glimpses of Jonnu Smith. Very athletic guy. Sort of one of those, tricky athletic, given that he's a tight end. He's got some juice, some juke in him. And when Delanie Walker went down this year, I went, oh, Jonnu Smith. Get Jonnu Smith. It's an easy one-to-one. He's got the, you know, sort of skill set. What I didn't account for was Marcus Mariota couldn't feel his hand for like a month. So Marcus Mariota's hand is feeling good now.
They call that the stranger.
Yeah, the stranger. Yeah, you sit on your hand and then you try to throw for three touchdowns in a game. But Jonnu Smith has a touchdown in two straight games. One was a trick play two games ago, which kind of piques my interest. A trick play to a tight end that they're trying to get the ball into his hands gives me a little bit of interest. Sort of one of the reasons why I'm not worried about Eric Ebron was that weird jet sweep. I don't know. What's the slowest plane out there? What was the Wright brothers plane called? The Kitty Hawk sweep. That's kind of what Eric Ebron ran last week, but they gave Jonnu Smith a trick play against Dallas a couple weeks ago, and they gave him a good old fashioned touchdown last week. He gets the Colts this week, who before facing the Jacksonville tight ends, which I mean, O'Shaughnessy, I think is their tight end right now. They allowed at least 70 yards to a touchdown or a touchdown to five tight ends in their previous six games. And the only guys who didn't pull it off were Jordan Akins and Jason Kroom, who gun to your head. Evan, what team's Jason Kroom on?
Why, that would be the Kansas City Athletics.
They're correct. It's actually the North Haverbrook River Monsters. But no, he's a Bill, I believe. So that's why you don't. Yeah, he's a Bill. So Jonnu Smith's my sleeper this week. He's owned in 5% of Yahoo leagues. I think that he will do well for you this week against a Mike, cover your ears. Absolutely dreadful Indianapolis Colts defense. All right, Mike, earmuffs off. So quick rundown real quick of the sleepers this week. Mike has Eli, Anthony Miller, Josh Adams, and Jeff Heuerman. Evan has Bort. And then he has like six different wide receivers. Traquan Smith, Brandon LaFell, Dante Moncrief, and then maybe kind of D.D. Westbrook. Not really. Do you want to declare one on those, Evan?
You know, I'm kind of talking myself into Moncrief.
All right. Then so Dante Moncrief at wide receiver. Ridley, Stephen Ridley at running back, and Ricky Seals-Jones at tight end. I have Dak, Kiki QT, Theo Riddick in a PPR and half PPR play, and Jonnu Smith. I had that pause there because I was staring at, I wrote Ridley for Evan, and I was like, Calvin Ridley? I was like, that can't be right, which tells you how deep Evan's pick was. I literally thought it was a different player. So now that we've got sleepers in the books, we're going to talk about the reason Evan wanted to come on, which I guess therapy. It's easier, it's cheaper and easier to come on your website's podcast than it is to go to therapy. So he wanted to talk about times fantasy sports made us feel bad. So I'll let you, this is your deal. I'll let you take the floor, Evan. We'll talk about this for a little bit, and then we'll get to the matchups this week.
It's a good point. You know, people sometimes ask me why I don't get therapy. And I say, well, I could go to a psychologist and tell him and make him depressed and pay him money. Or I could just write about it. And then people will pay me money to make them depressed. So it just seems like a very, from a transactional Perfect. Basis, seems like the right thing to do. And I've been marveling because Jeff and I and Waleed, the other owner of Football Absurdity, were talking this week about how whether a free win in fantasy football is worth, has more value emotionally than starting playing an opponent with a full lineup and getting the competitiveness, because I always like the full lineup thing. And if my opponents don't have a full lineup, I'll call them up and tell them to start somebody, because I'm not here for free wins. I want free wins in life. And it just got me thinking, if I'm so okay with losing, how come I get so outrageously upset about it? And I've been thinking about other hobbies, all my other hobbies, and no other hobby I get so clinical about it. You know, cooking. I'm never like, wow, I burnt the eggs. Now I'm going to go cry. I'm never like, I'm not into quilting. If I were into quilting, it feels like there's nothing you could cry about in quilting. There's nothing that you're going to go to a psychologist and say, I can't handle quilting. I gambled away my mortgage and
quilting.
If you accidentally, you know, quilt in a curse word or a slur, if you weren't paying attention, I think that's something that, you know, might ruin the quilt for you or make it better, depending
accidentally,
on.
No, it's when I misspell the slur. That's the loss. Yeah. And so I was thinking about my biggest meltdowns of all time. And it's excellent that you mentioned how Indianapolis is so tight end based, because it's been that way for years, where at any week, one of their tight ends could blow up. And 2016, December 5th, I had started 1-5 in a craft beer league we do on Something Awful, where the prizes are the losers, maybe a little of the winners, boxes of craft beer. So you get a regionally exclusive beer that you might not have tasted before. And I had started 1-5, but then I went 5-1. And it's especially important to me to win all of my auction leagues, because that's the only thing I'm good at. And all I needed to do was win the playoffs. And I checked in on the message boards, up by 22.5 points. And all my opponent had was Dwayne Allen, who had scored twice in 14 games on the year. Dwayne Allen came out and scored 3 touchdowns in the first half. And I'm pulling up all of my posts in this thread as I slowly watch this happen. And I'd just like to share you some of the posts. First, after he scored his second touchdown, I post, "There is no God. Existence is a joke." And then when the Indianapolis started driving again and Dwayne Allen was in, I said, "There were rivers of blood flowing out of my gaping to family show. So we'll say orifice, choose your favorite, rivers of blood flowing out of my orifices." And then I went and said, I want to, after he scored the touchdown, I said I would devote my life to charity so I could go to heaven and kick God's behind for this. And then I ask, I pontificate, what is wrong with society? And then I talk about finding Dwayne Allen's descendants for 7 generations. Then more rivers of blood. Every atom of every particle of every being that has ever existed can get screwed. I will salt every arable acre of the earth with my gushing tears. You know, just normal disappointment and stuff. And so I was just wondering if that's exclusive to me, or if you all had favorite meltdowns that you, or at least most cringe-worthy. Like, while I go through this, obviously I'm cringing because it didn't matter. And the irony is losing that game got me into a loser's bracket that I won. And so I won two boxes of beer. And had I not gotten that loser's bracket, I would have been eliminated the first round of the playoffs. So this seemingly devastating loss actually netted me 2 boxes of beer after all that. So don't I feel silly now?
That's I don't think that went like you thought it would in the end there, given that you seem to be a little bit, we'll say, disconcerted.
Oh, here's a video of me doing 4 consecutive shots of whiskey.
All right.
At 7:19 p.m. on December 5th. What was your question? Sorry, I'm busy watching myself.
Oh, I was just saying that it left you perturbed. But I don't tend to get that upset. I more turn into a stress ball about everything that's going on. I think that putting my opinions out there and giving other people my opinions is probably the number one most detrimental thing that I've done to my health. Just because I sit there and I stew and I freak out, and I still think about back in 2015. When Jamaal Charles, Kansas City Chiefs at that time, went down with injury in week 5. Then I was on the Something Awful message boards, and people were saying, well, should I get Spencer Ware or Charkhandrick West? And I was fully on the Spencer Ware bandwagon. I was calling people fools. I was, you know, saying you're an idiot if you don't do this. He's the only right play would be to get Spencer Ware. And then Charkhandrick West went on to have 133 yards per game for 3 games, and he scored 3 touchdowns. Whereas in that same time span, Spencer Ware had, he had 6 carries for 24 yards. I was way off. Char West did get the thing, and I literally think about it every fantasy football season. I don't have meltdowns, I guess, Evan. I guess we'll call that charitably a meltdown, or a disturbance in your feelings. But I do sit there and I'm stress balls all the time, and it's always about what I tell people to do. The number one thing that I still think about that still bothers me to this day is I wrote an article. It's still out there on the internet. You Google Jeff Crisco, Torrey Smith, and it's out there. And I wrote, Torrey Smith will win you your league. This was with Chip Kelly and the 49ers because I fully bought into Chip Kelly. And you know what Torrey Smith did? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He was terrible. And I put that Torrey Smith will win you your league. Can you imagine? I put that out there. People read that. That thing got thousands of hits. There are thousands of people out there who read my words. My opinion was that Torrey Smith would win you your league. And Torrey Smith did nothing. So that was sort of my worst thing. And I like I said, I mostly get tied up in knots. I'm not an overly, I just get sort of very upset. By the way, Torrey Smith, that year, that would be 2016 with Chip Kelly. He ended the year with 20 catches for 267 yards and 3 touchdowns. Not exactly league-winning material, I would say.
I have a note on my computer, a post-it note, that says, don't message Jeff during Sunday Night Football.
Oh, I'm a mess of Sunday Night Football.
So, I think I am as well. I don't remember why I wrote it, but I'm like, okay. Because I remember both you and I are just like nervous wrecks.
Yeah, it's because there's two games left. Well, you know, our matchups are conceivably like 90% done, and it's that last 10% that we both sit there and freak out about. I have trouble focusing on my work on Mondays if I'm losing in my big money league, my league with my high school friends. Like I have trouble paying attention at work because all I can think about is Monday Night Football.
Oh, look at Mr. Big Fancy Popular Guy. I had friends in high school. Wow.
Hey, you know what, man? All you have to do is, and everybody's your friend. It's really easy to do. Try that your next time around.
I'm going through these meltdowns here. Sorry to just interrupt this because it's funny. This was the first conversation you and I ever had. I'm melting down, and then at 7:28, someone who's in my league posts my lineup to prove that I'm not just making this up as if I would for attention. I guess I would. And you come in and you say, hold on, why that censored? Would you bench Tom Brady for Colin Kaepernick? And
I was, oh my God, that was you?
I was just looking for someone to yell at. So I start yelling at you. And even though you were totally right, and later on I apologized and acknowledged it. Yeah, first conversation. Hey. Revisited.
Yeah, I remember that because I remember that. Okay, so perfect. This is a perfect example of the things that get me worked up is I was touting Colin Kaepernick that week. I was saying, hey, you guys, Colin Kaepernick's a good start. That's a good start. But not for Tom Brady. That's actually one of the things that I think about. I know I remember that conversation exactly because I had been touting and I was like, I caught this guy. His week. I did this. This is my fault. Even though ultimately you did this, which Mike, do you have any things that any historic meltdowns, anything like that, that for your fantasy football lifetime?
Yeah, I think the biggest probably meltdown that I had was in an article I wrote for DLF and spouting that Julio Jones would have a worse career than Kelvin Benjamin. I got chewed out for that one. Not by the editors, but by the people themselves, the fantasy owners themselves. And not yet has one season come true for me. So I'll say that's probably the most embarrassing moment. Probably the worst draft choice that I made was, this is going way back, David Boston in the first round.
Oh, David Boston from Ohio State?
That David Boston.
Yeah, I got him in the third round that year and still regretted it. I still remember it. That's how that was 17 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long
time. That reminds me, do you guys remember the year that Randy Moss fell apart and ended up on three different teams in the same year? He started off on the Patriots, then he was on the Titans, and then he ended up back on the Vikings. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
He didn't like the food at Minnesota's facility.
Yeah, I drafted him the first round that year, and I was kind of dogmatic about running back in a snake draft back then. But I was like, you know what, Randy Moss, you know, he's one of the greatest of all time. He's playing with Tom Brady, another one of the greatest of all time. You know what, I'm going to bank that he gets back to massive 23 touchdown season from a couple years before. No, 5 touchdowns, 393 yards, 28 receptions. I went on a absolute screed in our the message board in our league, and I'm having trouble finding it. Yahoo's not doing a great job of helping me out there, but I got a lot of messages of like, "Are you okay, dude? Like, you know, it's just fantasy football, this and the other," and I was very upset by that. So Randy Moss, 2010, can go die in a fire, but Randy Moss, 2012, greatest wide receiver of all time. For your San Francisco 49ers. 3 of the greatest wide receivers of all time were 49ers, just so you know. Just so you guys know.
And none of them won a Super Bowl.
Jerry Rice did.
Oh yeah.
Check me. Little guy called Jerry Rice.
Wrong. I'm gonna need to see a source on this.
The source is Count the Rings, baby. All right. So those are our meltdowns. Evan, I hope that this was therapy for you. This episode is going a little long. We're already an hour in and we haven't gotten to the matchups. Luckily, we're a little short on matchups this week. Like I said earlier, we got 6 teams on bye. 1 team's already played. So that is 12 matchups. 12 matchups that we're going to go through. Nailed it. Yeah, 12. Evan, you don't have any designated role in this. Mike and I go back and forth. He usually takes the AFC home games, but the NFC ones outnumbered them by a good amount. So he took a couple NFC home games. If you want to chip in and help out, we'll... What's that?
I'll just hate on stuff.
There you go. All right, fair enough. First game, Dallas travels to Atlanta. It's a 48.5 point over-under. The Falcons are 3.5 point favorites. And what I forgot to mention is what we do with our previews every week. We do things a little bit differently than most sites, rather than saying, you know what, I think this week Julio Jones and Ezekiel Elliott are great starts in this matchup. What we go for is what we're looking for, because if we're just talking about what we're looking for, we're never wrong. If we're just theorizing, we're always correct. So it's a nice way to have our cake and eat it too. Right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. So in this one, like I said, 48.5 point over under, which is middling. That's usually one of the higher ones, but oh boy, wait till we get to Monday Night Football's over under. Falcons are 3.5 point favorites. On this one, what I'm looking for is sort of a third data point for the Dallas passing game. Michael Gallup did well the first game with Amari. He did poorly the second game. Amari Cooper has been getting targets and touches, but I want to see this offense build. Can Amari Cooper's presence in Dallas help out? Can Dak become a weekly starter? Can Michael Gallup be a spot starter? Because Gallup had 9 targets Amari's first game and then 5 targets. And then for the Falcons, what I'm looking for is Ito Smith getting more run. I think I say this every week that I talk about the Falcons, but I really like Ito Smith. And I really think that one or both of Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman are going to be gone next year. So that's been the RB2 for the Falcons has been a role that we've been able to mine for fantasy. And I just want to see if that's going to continue for that next year. So that's what I'm looking for, Atlanta and Dallas. Evan, what do you hate there? All right, nothing. Perfect.
I'm here. I was drinking coffee. I hate that I can't put a beat on Dallas. I thought we could start everybody against you a second ago, and now all of a sudden you beat Philadelphia. Why is any given Sunday? I hate that I feel like Charlie Brown with the football and Lucy with Atlanta's offense. Where it feels like, yes, now you can finally trust them. Now I'm going to start them all, and you're going to pull the football away. I'm going to land on my butt.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of pulling it away, another breaking news. Jimmy Graham broke his thumb last night.
Ooh.
So he's probably out for the rest of the year, which means that's another one in Jeff's correct about things column. Because I had a borderline meltdown about how bad Jimmy Graham was going to be entering the year.
Fire up your Mercedes Lewis's?
Lance Kendricks's? What was his name last night, Mike? Paul Bunyan?
Tanyan.
I remember
Fire up your Paul Tanyans.
Graham for $3 in an auction, and I proudly told you and Waleed with stars in my eyes, and you both said you paid too much.
You paid too much. Well, all right.
Remember back in one of our first episodes, I said Jimmy Graham was going to be the second tight end, finished as the second tight end. So I was a little off
on the Packers.
The second tight end on the okay, you beat me.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we'll call it. Yeah, yeah. The second tight end on the Packers. Yeah.
Second tight end on the Packers. So Jimmy Graham's season ends with 452 yards on 34 receptions and 2 touchdowns. Not exactly the monstrous season that people were expecting out of him. So that's a little bit more breaking news. You know, we're breaking news here on this podcast that comes out at some point at some time before the game start. So, all right, next game from Dallas and Atlanta. We go to Detroit. Carolina Panthers travel to Detroit. Carolina is 4.5-point favorites. This one's got a 49.5-point over-under. What I'm looking for in this offense is Detroit offense to have some semblance of being a NFL level passing game, I guess we'll put it, because without Matt Stafford's been sacked 16 times in his last two games after being sacked, I think it was 23 times in the season combined. So I think that I need to see something from the Detroit passing game before, you know, trade deadlines passed. You may not be able to trade him, but maybe trading on Marvin Jones' name and Kenny Galladay's name, because Kenny Galladay scored last week, but it was trash time. It was garbage time. And these Panthers don't usually have a lot of garbage time because they play a little bit close to the vest, a little, you know, ground and pound with Christian McCaffrey, which brings me to what I'm looking for the Panthers. I mean, the wide receiver core, Devin Funchess, Moore, Curtis Samuel, are any of these guys going to be reliable week to week? Or is it just Christian McCaffrey, Cam Newton, and Greg Olsen? Like, can you dependably start a Panthers wide receiver without calling it a desperation play, a, you know, what the heck, hopefully this works out play? So that's what I'm looking for in this one. I was a big Jim Bob Cooter fan for Detroit. I thought he, you know, I declared that he fixed Matt Stafford, but now Matt Stafford seems to be broken again. So I really hope Detroit can turn it around. And then also what I'm looking for in Detroit is give Kerryon Johnson the dang ball. Stop messing around with Theo Riddick, except give him enough targets to make me right about my sleeper. But stop messing around with LeGarrette Blount. I want to see Kerryon Johnson. I think he had 21 touches last week. Make it 25 this week. Run that guy into the ground. He is a beast. He is a monster. That's what I want to see in Detroit and Carolina.
I hate that I am not a gambler, because this game seems like a mismatch. It seems like a heavyweight fighting down. Carolina's got a team. They've got an identity. They've got reasonable cohesion on defense. Detroit, like you said, Stafford is broken. And they allow running backs. Christian McCaffrey is going to run all over him. And the only reason why this spread is 4.5, I can presume, is because Carolina got spanked by New Orleans on national television last week. And I think that's making people bid the other side there. And I think it's ridiculous. I think it's the surest line bet of the week.
Yeah, and it was Pittsburgh that spanked him. But yeah, on Thursday Night Football, everybody.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, Thursday Night Football, everybody who had no better sense than to not watch Thursday Night Football watched the Panthers just get rocked.
I can't remember.
Nobody on that
days ago, man. I can't even remember 10 minutes ago.
Nobody on that team looked any good except for Christian McCaffrey. He was literally the only player who looked like a halfway decent guy on that offense. So next we move on to a team near and dear to Mike. Mike, you still there? You still alive?
Huh?
All right, that's a yes. The Titans travel to the Indianapolis Colts, where Indy is a 1.5-point favorite. It's a 49-point over-under. And other than Eric Ebron scoring 3 more touchdowns, what are you looking for in this one?
Yeah, because, you know, that's going to be a sure thing.
Weekly situation.
Absolutely. Every week you can count on that.
Set and forget.
Especially running it in. That one is a definite lock.
Two receiving, one rushing touchdown every week in Penn in your lineup. Just put it down for those, you know, six guys that still use paper tabulation. Put it in Penn in your lineup. All right, so what are you looking? Enough of that nonsense. What are you looking for in this one?
So what I'm looking for is, can the passing game of the Indianapolis Colts break through the tough defense of the Titans? As you mentioned, the overall score is going to be pretty low, so it's going to be a tough one for the Colts to get their passing game going. Luck is on a six-game consecutive streak of three-plus touchdowns per game, which is the longest since Tom Brady's 10 straight. So he's got a little way to go, but, you know, we'll see if he can do this against Tennessee. If he can throw for three touchdowns against Tennessee, then he's a really good quarterback. You know, not that he's not already. The Titans, this is how good their defense is. They're allowing just 1.7 offensive touchdowns per game, which is the fewest in the league, and just 2.6 red zone trips per game. So obviously if they're not allowing red zone trips, and they're obviously not allowing the touchdowns to be scored. So also with how good their defense is, the teams are converting just 34.8% of those trips into touchdowns, the lowest rate in the NFL. So they basically, teams cannot get into the red zone. They can't score touchdowns. And Andrew Luck is on a consecutive three touchdown game streak. So I think that's going to be broken this week. And I can definitely see an upset, even though they're playing in Indianapolis. I can see an upset in this game, as much as that is going to bother me. Even though this has a bad playing for the Colts offense, I think you have to still ride with Andrew Luck. And if you're looking for streaming options, Marcus Mariota is a nice streamer for those. Colts allow a lot of completions. They're 31st in the league at 72%. And so it's the teams are able to really be able to pass against the Colts. There's so many times that the Colts defense on first and second down shut down the run, and the teams are facing a 3rd and 7, and the opposing team gets a first down. I don't know how many times I've seen it. It's heartbreaking to see how many 3rd and long situations the Colts give up through the air. And that's one thing that I like about Mariota. And if you're looking for bye week kind of injury hell kind of guys, you need a role in a flex position, Ty Hilton and Corey Davis could make excellent options for you.
All right. So which one would you rather have, Hilton or Corey Davis? Because Corey Davis got dropped in a lot of leagues because he didn't do jack squat for a long time. So it's possible to have both those guys. So Hilton or Corey Davis, which would you rather start this week? Take off your Homer hat.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I think the Colts are spreading the ball a lot, as you see with Ebron and Doyle and just Inman, Dontrell Inman, that they got off the street. Is
Mo Alley Cox, the best name in football.
Yeah, absolutely. Mo Alley Cox. So they're just spreading the ball way too much. And that's why I think Corey Davis makes a better play. Also, the Tennessee Titans defense, they really do well against wings, wide receivers. So obviously Hilton is not really a slot guy. He's more of a wing wide receiver. Those for those reasons. So when you have a good passing game against a weaker defense in the Colts, Mariota Davis, I can see happening at least once for a touchdown.
All righty. Next game up on the schedule is one that, or Evan, something you want to rant and rave about in that one?
In all six of my leagues, I have either Andrew Luck and or Marlon Mack. And in all six of those leagues, I have them on the bench because I have someone better. And that tears me up. inside in week 12. I should learn to trade.
You know, you want to hear something that tears me up? Right before Andrew Luck went on his three touchdown streak, I said, you know what? Andrew Luck will be okay, but this guy, I think he's really gonna do something. He's stepping into an offense that's doing a lot of stuff. I dropped Andrew Luck for Jameis Winston.
Oh.
Well, he's my backup, but don't do like me and just drop players off of 1 week. Aside. Hey, Evan, I don't know how much attention you pay to baseball. Mike, you pay attention. Blake Snell, Cy Young win AL this year.
Yeah.
Drop him after a second start in fantasy baseball this year. Don't be like me. Hang on to your guys.
It's tough though. I dropped who I got in like the 20th round, who I'd be able to keep for the 19th round of next year's draft, Mitchell Trubisky. So
I hear he's pretty good. Just ask Resident.
There we go. This is the pain I feed upon. I dropped David Johnson rookie year week 9, and he would have won me the championship in my big money league.
I mean, you want pain. I mean, I consistently have the most moves in my big money league, so I have lots of pain. Let's see. Hold on. I am sitting at 63 moves.
Wow.
Through 10 weeks. So that's an average of just under a move a day since the league started.
You're like a day trade.
My children would starve.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have kids, so that's perfect. So 63 moves. Yesterday I accidentally added a Kiki QT instead of Janoris Jenkins. So that was two moves right off the bat. I meant to add Jack Rabbit in IDP league. I got Rashad Jones on bye. So I meant to do that, but yeah, I mean, lots of moves. So if you make lots of moves, you can't dwell on the one that you did wrong, even though I do it all the time. And is there anything more painful than going up against a guy that you dropped?
No.
Luckily.
Oh yeah, that's hammer theory. We call that the hammer theory among my friends. And the reasoning goes, if I give you a hammer to help you build your house, you are obligated to hit me with it.
Fair enough. Yeah, last week I didn't realize I had dropped Duke Johnson, and I didn't realize that, you know, after his huge game, I thought somebody had already picked him up. And I had waiver priority over a guy who picked up Duke Johnson, and I picked up Josh Adams with my waiver priority. And I was all week just staring at Duke Johnson. I go, I swear to God, if Duke Johnson has another touchdown game, I'm just going to quit this league. I'm not going to be able to handle it. It's one of the worst feelings is to get beaten by a guy who, luckily he didn't have a 2-touchdown game. He sucked out loud. So I was okay. But enough dwelling on pain. But speaking of pain, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Eli Manning, Blake Bortles' dad travels up to New York to take on the Giants. Giants are 1.5-point favorites, which doesn't sound right. I must've gotten that backwards. And it's a 52.5-point over under. So, Mike, this is one you stole from me. What are you looking for in this game?
So will the Bucks defense the Eli Manning passing game, which one will look uglier first?
Which one will suck more?
Yeah. And I don't know. I think I'm going to go with Bucks defense on this one. I think Eli Manning showed a little bit last week, and he makes a kind of good streamer. So I'm going to go with the Giants in this game, and Eli Manning should have a reasonable good day. Speaking of quarterbacks, I really like Fitzpatrick, how he's played this season. And it seems like the Bucks have sort of allegiance themselves to Fitzpatrick, and Jameis Winston is probably done. They probably are going to chuck that project out the window and draft a quarterback this year.
I don't know. At least one fantasy analyst I know likes him more than Andrew Luck. So
they what?
He dropped Andrew Luck for him. Anyways.
So, Jeff, wow. You were actually correct. The Giants are picked by 1.5. This is the first time since week 10 of 2017, that's 15 weeks, that Eli Manning has been a favorite.
He's not even Archie Manning's favorite.
Man, this is a parlay waiting to happen. Get it on this, too, and that Panthers game. What is going on, betters? It must be that New York, that New York homer crowd going to Vegas, dropping a bunch of money on the Giants or something. I don't get this.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. But bet. I would say bet the over and bet Tampa Bay in this one.
Oh, so you're going with Tampa Bay, huh?
Oh, the Giants suck out loud. The only reason they won last week is because they were playing the 49ers, who are even worse.
Well, who do you think that the Buccaneers have a worse defense than the 49ers?
Yes.
I do too. Yeah,
they do have a worse defense, but I think that they have a much better offense.
I think six upturned mops with buckets on their heads. 11 of those, I think, would be a better defense than what Tampa Bay has.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. So speaking of Fitzpatrick, he has four games now with 400 yards passing, which ties Peyton Manning in 2013 and Dan Marino's 1984 season for the most. So he has a chance to break two Hall of Famers. Or one future Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer, so.
Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The beard battle. No. Hold on. Not the national. Sorry, not the Football Hall of Fame. The Beard Hall of Fame. Sorry if I got that twisted in your guys'
this
mind.
This is the battle of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks that we really deserve.
No.
No. I'm so upset. I've gone pre-verbal.
This is what America deserves, Jeff.
This is the crumbling empire. This is what we get. Tampa Bay against the Giants.
It's pretty bad. And
actually, we'll get the crumbling empire game later. Don't worry. There's a worse game on the docket than this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I should say there is. And yeah, this one.
Oh, nice. Bad. I like a good tease.
Okay. you're into torture, huh, Evan?
I'm a Raider fan. That should be obvious.
Yeah. That's pretty torturous. So the really big problem with Fitzpatrick is that he's going to need to improve on his red zone play. Just 38% of his passes go for completions once he's in the red zone. And like, he's one of three or four quarterbacks in the history of the NFL to have a 400 yard passing game that he did last week, and, or was it 500, whatever it was, and not throw for a touchdown. So yeah, that's just how bad it is. The Bucs have been a turnover machine, turning it over 24% of the possessions, highest in rate in the NFL.
I'm sorry, one out of every four possessions is a turnover?
Yes.
Good God.
One out of every five, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh,
I thought you said 24. So
24%.
Roughly, yeah. So exactly. Just about one of every four. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they're, you know, and I think that has a lot to do with who the quarterbacks are with Winston and Fitzpatrick. So I don't know what their fumble rate is, but yeah, they're just turning it over all the time. But it might not even matter because the Giants, they don't do anything with their offense. New York scores on only 11% of their possessions at home, which is 31st in the league. And if you're looking for players, obviously Beckham and Barkley. If you're looking for streaming options, as I said, Manning and Fitzpatrick, and then flex play Ingram, Howard, and DeSean Jackson.
So Evan Ingram, he hasn't been all that great since coming back from injury. Do you think he gets back to his top five tight end ways this week or against that terrible defense, or do you think that there might not be enough to go around for him with Sterling Shepard doing well?
Yeah, you know, I think that Ingram, considering A, that the Buccaneers have such a terrible defense, and B, I think the Bucs are going to be putting up points in this game, as we see as the over-under. But so I think that it's going to be a high fluid scoring game, and which means a lot of passing. And in that case, I think Ingram is going to be involved quite a bit.
All right, fair enough. Next game up on the docket is The Houston Texans traveling to Washington to take on Alex Smith in the Washington professional football franchise. Houston is a 3-point favorite on this one. Freaking hammer that. It's a 42.5 point over under. Washington is fraudulent as heck. They are sorry to use such harsh language. I know this is a family program, but they are currently leading the NFC East by 2 games. They've won 4 out of their last 5 games. But they are so bad. So bad. They have, since their bye week, they have scored 19 points, 23 points, 20 points, 20 points, 14 points, and 16 points. They are the most fraudulent 6-3 that you will ever find in the history of the world. You know, Alex Smith, battle of wounded knee, more like battle of wounded duck. Got him. Brat. There's nobody on this offense that is worth playing. Even Adrian Peterson, outside of desperation, because it is such a mess. Jordan Reed, trash. Vernon Davis, trash. Every single wide receiver there, trash. Capri Bibbs. All right, you can play Capri Bibbs if you're exceptionally desperate. But this offense, divest from it entirely. You do not want a Washington player on your team. Alex Smith will drag you down. He is doing his classic Alex Smith move of turtling and taking 40 seconds every single time to snap the ball. If your team's only running 6 plays a game, there's nothing that you can do to mine any sort of fantasy value out of that. And anyways, on the other side, I'm looking for the play between Kiki QT and Demaryius Thomas. Like I said earlier, I think that Kiki QT is going to do well, and I think that the Demaryius Thomas thing is going to be overrated.
I was a little worried when you said Battle of Wounded Knee that you would offend Native Americans, but then I realized when you're talking about the Washington Redskins, you're never going to be the most offensive statement in the room against Native Americans. So.
Exactly, and I left off, you know, Trail of Tears references, King Philip's War, you know. I don't think anything will be as bad as Wendell Smallpox Blankets. I was.
That was an internal memo only.
But yeah, peeling back the curtain, Mike, we were trying to think of Thanksgiving names and, you know, Native American and American relations. It's a well-kept secret, haven't been the best. And so that one I fired off and I think I was quickly, vetoed, but anyways, Washington is very bad. They are 6-3, like I said, but, they've scored over 25 points once this season. They scored over 20 points just 3 times. They're not a good offense. They're not a team that you're going to want to invest in. There's not a wide receiver on this roster that's worth owning, except maybe Mo Harris if you want to get tricky in a PPR league. But, I mean, just stay away from Washington is basically what it comes down to. And then the other thing is check what Lamar Miller is doing. If he sucks, he's clearing the way for Deonta Foreman, who started practicing again this week, which means that the Texans have 3 weeks to activate him from IR. And
he start practicing? Because yesterday, then I must be off. The latest update I have is this coach said he wasn't sure if he was even going to play this year. I'm trying to get a date on that. That was yesterday. Bill O'Brien said he not guarantee that they will return this season.
Oh, so they just activated him from PUP. That's what I saw.
And then he said, can he, this is a Bill O'Brien head coach, can he carry the ball more than 2 times in a row without having to go get a drink of water? Unquote.
That's what's called a resounding endorsement from your head coach.
Wow, that's not optimistic.
Yeah, so I'm the one behind on that. Throw the Lamar Miller thing out the window. He's a great back, just like everybody wanted him to be and acts like he still is, even though he's not. Next game, we've talked about this a little bit. Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. We've got 2 gunslingers going at it. Big Ben League Bortles, couple of double B-boys. And Pittsburgh's 5-point favorites, 46.5 point over-under. Mike, what are you looking for in this one?
You know, before I get into that, I wanted to address your fake teams. And I think Houston Texans is right up there with the Washington Redskins. I mean, if you look at the teams they beat, Cowboys, Bills, Jaguars, Dolphins, Broncos. So, you know, even though they can put up some points, they're not necessarily that good either. So I think it's going to be the battle of the fakeness in that situation.
Wow. I mean, I think I just, you know, I'll believe in any team that has J.J. Watt on it and Jadeveon Clowney together. So I think that might be why I'll just say I disagree with you a little bit there.
That's okay. That's fine. You'll be wrong.
It's not okay. Fight me.
You'll be wrong, but that's okay.
The Costco and Sunrise. 1 hour. Let's go.
You guys, think of the sample trays you might knock over, okay?
Yeah, I'll be eating the sample trays, actually.
That's a little very hyper-specific to east of Sacramento suburbia, where Mike and I both live. So, anyways,
do we not have Costco up here? I don't know. I'm going to the Google. Anyway, sorry, I'm derailing. Keep going.
Well, if you don't have a Costco, you have to move because, you know, Costco is what it's about.
Yeah, well, I got two kids, man. I should live there. Yeah, no. Oh, of course we have it here. Kirkland is the town, three towns north of here. Blah, 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 pie. I know where I live.
Hey, a little Jeff's deals corner. $12 right now. There's a really nice, thick winter sort of sweater that they're selling pretty cheap for $12 on sale. Definitely check that out. I picked up some of those and they are comfy. But now me trying to steer this back for the third time. Pittsburgh and
Steelers and Jags. So basically, will the Jags continue to wilt under expectations while the Steelers continue to outperform theirs? And the Jags have scored about 42 less points than their implied total. So whenever you're looking at what teams are going to score, because they give you an over and under, and each team has a share of that total amount. And basically what the Jags are doing is underperforming the point total that Vegas thinks they should score. And that's added up to nearly 42 points, wow, which is
that's a good tidbit.
Yeah. So those betting out there you go. And that total is second worst in the league behind just the Raiders. Sorry about that, Evan.
Go Oakland.
They are going to go. They're going to go to Vegas.
Yeah, they're going from Oakland.
That's what I meant. Go from Oakland. Get away.
Get a Mayflower. Move away.
God, that stadium is like walking through a movie theater in terms of the floor sticking to your feet.
You know what I want to know? Are those Raiders fans that dress up in all that gear going to do that in the Las Vegas heat? And that's what I'm curious about.
Does anyone in Vegas feel passionately about anything? Yeah. Aren't you all just soul dead over there?
I don't know. You can find some passionate people about gambling and hookers.
Yeah, they'd probably definitely be about that. That's for sure.
They nominated a dead pimp to their state legislature.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy who owned the bunny ranch.
Yeah, he died, and then he got nominated to the state legislature. So.
Because they have a law in Vegas that even if you die when you're running, you still have to be on the ballot to, I guess, probably they had a problem with people killing their opponents and stuff. So that's why they did this.
So, you know, dead pimp 2020. still like him more than that orange buffoon. Hey. Anyways, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville.
So Jags aren't living up to their potential at all. And obviously I think the biggest issue is the lack of red zone, especially at home, just under two touchdowns a game. And this is probably directly resulted into Blake Bortles handling the command of the offense because Leonard Fournette was MIA up until now. So I think a lot of that can change and probably will change, but up to this point, it's just been a disaster. The Steelers, they've been solid against the run, so we'll see how Fournette does exactly in the second game back. They gave him like 20-something carries last week, so they feel confident in his running style, but the Steelers are just a brick wall when it comes to facing the run. Their weakness, however, is against the pass. So it's almost a mirror reflection of offense and defense. The Steelers' defense is great against the run, and that's what Jacksonville does. Steelers are bad against the pass. That's what Jacksonville doesn't do. So, I don't see that being a great combination for the Jaguars. Team splits run the run for just 34% of the time, second worst in the league, while the pass is 66% of the time, second most. So those are the splits between run and pass. And then if you're looking for fantasy, obviously you're going to go with AB. And then consider Roethlisberger, Juju, Connor, and Fournette as streamer options. Connor should be healthy. I think he's cleared concussion protocol. If he hasn't, then he's on his way. So it looks like he's going to play, but definitely monitor that situation.
I refuse to monitor it. Next game up, Cincinnati goes to Baltimore. This has no line and no over-under because the Ravens right now have no quarterback. We have no idea what's going on. Joe Flacco's hurt. RG3 is the last man standing because Lamar Jackson had a tummy ache. He missed practice, might not be able to play. So good luck, Mike.
Yeah, this one was – so basically you had a good introduction is who will start at the quarterback position for the Ravens? Will it be rookie phenom Lamar Jackson? Or why are you still on a roster, RG3? Or is it going to be old man Joe Flacco?
Three Hall of Fame quarterbacks right there. That's rare.
Woo!
Yeah, they're definitely first balloters. So, maybe a combination of RG3 and RJ4. Jackson. So that could be a possibility too, to have both those guys out there rolling around. It might not matter though, as the Bengals can't play defense at home or the road, as they are the only team to allow 30 points at either destination. However, the Bengals' offense is 11th in the NFC, so it's a good thing they have some semblance of an offense because their defense is just garbage. It's hard to say which receivers to play for Baltimore because, as we're talking about, there really is no quarterback. Alex Collins could be a good play for Baltimore. The Bengals are 31st in yards allowed versus the run. And Cincinnati has allowed a rushing touchdown in 8 straight games. So that's sort of Alex Collins' calling card. That's where he scores his points, is through touchdowns. He's very touchdown dependent. And for Cincinnati, as we were talking about earlier, Tyler Boyd, after busting out, he has not hit the 70-yard receiving mark in 4 of his last 5 games, but still makes a nice number 3 wide receiver. And Baltimore is 19th against slot receivers. So he could have a bust out game there.
A quick question about that Ravens receiving room. Quarterback room. When you get Joe Flacco, Robert Griffin III, Lamar Jackson together, do you call them a tribe or do you call them a herd or a flock, a drove or a trip? Because those are all names for groups of goats. Greatest of all time, baby. All right, Evan, anything to throw in on that one?
I'm just overwhelmed by your zoological comparisons here.
Hey, baby, come for the subpar fantasy knowledge, stay for the things I frantically googled to make a joke work.
I find it shocking that I still hear analysts trudging out RG3 as someone you want to start. That's, come on, you want another turn of that buzzsaw? Just take a 0.
RG3 experience, you know, he's got those early 2000s ragdoll video game physics when he gets hit by a quarterback. If you want your quarterback to look like the guy in Titanic who hit the upright and started spinning, that's what you want with RG3. I mentioned that there would be some additional pain earlier. The worst game of the week, the Toilet Bowl. The projected 23-18 game by Vegas, Arizona 5-point favorites, 40.5-point over under, Oakland at Arizona. Evan, you can release your pain before we talk about this.
John Gruden is like the stepdad that your mom marries when you're 13 and comes in and wants to be your friend, but also is a raging alcoholic and perhaps molests you.
But I mean, how do you really feel? I mean, don't don't sugarcoat it.
I remember one time you and I were talking last year and you were complaining about how the Niners gave away a coach and a team picked up the coach and were beating the Niners because of it, or were beating the players. And I was like, you're talking to me here. You're talking to a Raider fan about the pain of having another team pick up your coach. Like, let's put some perspective on that. It's always been pain. It will always be pain.
Yeah, yeah. The Raiders are doomed to pain. And let's see real quick. The only website sponsorship that I will accept is GrudenGoneYet.com. He is still owed $91,402,193 even.
Oh, yeah. Who runs that?
All right.
Let's give a shout out. Who runs that?
Somebody on Something Awful put that together.
What are the Something Awful guys? Is it Ben Nevis?
It could be Ben Nevis. I don't know. Shout out to whoever that is. You live in our hearts. But this game's, it's going to be a mess. There is no, I mean, I put Doug Martin as a sleeper this week out of desperation, but there's really nobody on the Raiders you can trust. Jared Cook did his Jared Cook thing and is now Jared Cooking all over the league. Jordy Nelson is hurt, which means Brandon LaFell, right?
Yeah. Woo. Patrick Peterson can cover him.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Which I said he wouldn't, but I take it back.
But basically ditch all your Raiders.
Who else?
Ditch all your Raiders. You know, for something that I'm looking for, it's I said it with Amari Cooper on the Cowboys. But three games is a pattern. I want to know what Byron Leftwich is doing with this offense. It seems as though Larry Fitzgerald is back to being the center point of it, and David Johnson, which, what does that mean for Christian Kirk? What does that mean for RSJ? What does that mean for Josh Rosen? Basically, I want to see how Byron Leftwich does this in his third game against Evan, no offense, but a defense that they should just hammer into the ground.
I am offended by everything the Raiders do on defense and any reminder of it.
I'm going to be honest with you.
There's no God.
I don't think I can name a single Raiders defender.
Oh, Khalil Mack.
Oh, yeah, and Bruce Irvin. Oh, boy. Anyways, next game up, Denver. Ooh, AFC West matchup. Denver travels to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. I think that's how that's pronounced. The Chargers are 7-point favorites, 46.5-point over-under. This one is going to be one of those games where the biggest point of excitement is Denver brings it to within 10 points in some point in the mid third quarter. This game is going to be super duper boring, but what are you looking for in this one, Mr. Valverde?
Yeah, this one. Ugh. So basically I want to know which will break first, the running game of the Broncos or the stout run defense of the Chargers. The Chargers are at home, which means that they only allow 74 yards on the ground, which is number one in the NFL. However, the Broncos are 9th best rushing team in the NFL. So something's going to have to break there. Feel confident in playing Melvin Gordon as he's the only reliable starter for the Chargers. I'd like to say Phillip Rivers, but he is just not getting the volume, averaging just 25 passes over the last 5 games. So he's back to where they used to be before the big boom of passing offenses, where they're throwing 30 to 40 yards, 30, 35 times a game. He's down at 25. And this also kills Keenan Allen's value, which is why he's not doing much of anything this season. They're just not throwing the ball. And I guess Phillip Rivers is a game manager now, but which it was interesting. They were talking on, I think, Good Morning Football that Phillip Rivers should be nominated for MVP, but I don't really see how a game manager could be an MVP style player, but that's just my 2 cents in that. As far as Allen, he's only had one game with 7+ receptions, one game of 100+ yards, and one touchdown in those five games that I've been talking about for with Phillip Rivers. And it's not only that, it's the teams are playing. For instance, the Chargers have played the Raiders twice. Sorry, Evan. The Raiders twice in those five games. So it's not the quality of opponents isn't even there. Roll with Phillip Lindsay, Emmanuel Sanders. I should say not roll with them, but flex plays. And yeah, that's about it. Phillip Lindsay, Emmanuel Sanders from Denver.
Isn't Emmanuel Sanders still a top 12 overall wide receiver?
Yeah, he's definitely up there. But I think with the San Diego Chargers defense and the way they play against the wings, that it's going to be really hard for Emmanuel Sanders to get anything going.
All right. All righty then. So next game up is one that should be a good game. Last year's World Series champs against who could be this year's World Series champs. Philly travels to New Orleans. New Orleans, surprisingly, 8-point favorite, 56.5 point over under. If Philly wasn't the world.
I didn't know the Phillies won the World Series last year.
Did I say World Series?
Like four times.
Oh, yeah. Man alive. Super Bowl champion. Sorry, I'm not used to a near 2-hour podcast.
That's it? That's all we're at?
Whew, getting there. Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. The Philly champion, traveled to New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Pelicans, who won the NBA championship last year. The New Orleans French quarters are 8-point favorites, and it's a 56 flat over under. I can no longer talk. What I'm looking for in this one is the Golden Tate versus Nelson Aguilar grudge match for the number 2 wide receiver. And also the grudge match for number 2 wide receiver on the other side, Traquan Smith, Cam Meredith, Brandon Marshall, the ghost of Dez Bryant there too. Let's pour one out for Dez. New Orleans, I'll never forget all the memories he brought us with the Saints from the day he signed to the next day when he tore his Achilles in practice. A true legend. I'm really looking forward to seeing the statue they make of
him. The only thing about that was he was before the Saints, he was considering signing with the Browns. And so I was like, oh, that's what happened. You had that Browns thing happen to you. You got that Browns card.
He got the Browns stink without even,
you got Browns'd.
Yeah. Without even, getting on the roster. He just got that. That's how powerful the Browns stink is. This one, I'm just basically looking at the wide receiver matchups. And I'm also looking to see, Mike mentioned him earlier, if they give Josh Adams a lot of run, to see, what he does, with the ball. Anything to contribute on that one? This one should just be fun, fun matchup. Carson Wentz versus Drew Brees, with two okay defenses, in tow.
So the Saints have lost only one time this season. Who was that team?
I'm going to go with the Alabama Crimson Tide.
And you would be slightly wrong. Evan, do you have a guess?
God, that was week 1 or 2. I'm going to say the Bucks.
And you would be correct.
Nice. I just guessed.
Nice. All right.
Who is horrible now? That wasn't horrible. Week 2.
The Bucks. That's a good trivia matchup. Real quick. We're gonna play a quick game. Something I just pulled up. It's called Raiders Defender or Free Agent.
Or Exotic Cooking Dish.
All right. There's gonna be Frosty Rucker. Free Agent or Raiders Defender.
Frucker.
What do you guys?
Free Frosty.
Free agent. He is the starting right defensive end for the Raiders.
More like Frosty the No Man.
Hey, there you go. My dog didn't like that.
Dog loved it.
That was good.
Next one. David Amerson, free agent or cornerback for the Raiders?
I'm going to go corner.
I'll say free agent.
Free agent.
Nah.
And last one, This we'll go with Brian Cushing, inside linebacker for the Raiders, or free agent.
Didn't Cushing used to play for the Texans? There's no way Raiders got somebody from the Texans. He's got to be a free agent.
That's correct. The Raiders are starting college street free agent Jason Kabinda, inside linebacker.
Wow.
All righty. So next game up is going to be Minnesota at Chicago. The Waleed Ismail special. The Bears are, this can't be right, I put 2.6 point favorites. I'm guessing that's supposed to be 2.5 point favorites, and it's a 44.5 point over under. What I'm looking for in this one is if Kirk Cousins can pull his head out of his rear end and put together a decent performance. But the thing that I'm really looking for is Taylor Gabriel versus Anthony Miller. Evan would kind of know why. There was a big, we'll say, conversation this week about which player is better. Now that they're both fully healthy and out there at the same time, Gabriel had zero targets last week. So I think that Miller is the better player, but we'll see how they both do against a stout Minnesota defense. All right. Thanks for the contribution, guys.
I fear Bears wide receivers.
Sorry?
I fear Bears wide receivers.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just Jay Cutler residue, but, man, they make me tremble.
Jay Cutler actually is one of the last quarterbacks to have a top 10 tight end, a top 10 running back, and two top 30 wide receivers. So chew on that.
Future Hall of Famer, quarterback
future
right there.
Hall of Famer. You know, you get Jay Cutler, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Eli Manning in a room, and it's just a repeat of that goat joke I made earlier about the Ravens. Last game on the docket, the Raiders versus Cardinals. The Kansas City Chiefs travel redirected from Mexico City to L.A. because Shakira, her hips didn't lie. They tore up the field. The Rams are 3.5 point favorites, which, taking this from a neutral field to Los Angeles, really did a whole lot there on the line, because you pretty much give the home team 3 points. So it was a pick 'em before. But why this is amazing, 63.5 point over under, which, Evan, I think you said highest of all time.
I couldn't find data before 1979, but it's definitely the highest since then. So it probably is the highest all time. I'm not sure if they even collected data before then. Maybe people didn't bet back in the day.
Did they score touchdowns? Were they allowed to score touchdowns back then? Was that allowed?
Touchdowns were allowed to be scored, but they were only 4 points, and a field goal was 17.
You can get that Marco Rubio 3-point kick that he talked about. That doesn't have any other name for it. The good old fashioned 3-point kick that we all know and love to call it that. So, Mike, what are you watching for in this one, other than getting your popcorn out and watching a ton of scoring?
Yeah, wow. It'll probably be a 10-7 game, but. If you're a fantasy owner of any of these players on any of these teams, you're probably going to want to roll them out. This is just going to be score after score. 63 points, as we talked about with the over-under. Interesting players, I think you might like to play Robert Woods or Sammy Watkins. Watkins, in 6 of his last 8 games, has had wide receiver 3 or better numbers. So that, you know, if you're in a situation where bye week, injury hell, he might be a good play. While Woods has played the slot 61% of the time, definitely when that number really spiked when he replaced Cooper Kupp in week 6 through 8, and now that Kupp is out for the year with an ACL tear, look for Woods to man that position and for the long term. So those two guys, if you're, you know, obviously all the other players, you know, Patrick Mahomes and those guys are going to be automatic starts. But if you're looking deep, Watkins and Woods could be those kind of players.
Yeah, this one's definitely start him if you got him. It's going to be a huge shootout, which because we're all anticipating that, it's going to be 13-7 with touchdowns scored by Tyler Higbee and Spencer Ware. I think that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe, you know, you actually have a point with Higbee. I was looking up at him and he's been being active, more active in the offense, which he should be considering he's a good pass catcher. But yeah, I know you're slightly kidding in that, but yeah, it was something I stumbled on just this morning about him.
Fine. John Kelly.
No, John Kelly. Speaking of John, no, I'm just messing with you.
John Kelly. How about that, that president, huh?
Mexico City is 10,000 feet in the air, and there's not a lot of
oxygen. It floats?
There's not a lot of oxygen up there. And so to prepare for this game, St. Louis, I mean, Los Angeles went to – now I'm all messed up. Los Angeles practiced in Denver to prepare for this game. They flew out to Denver to practice where it's a mile high. Now that it's in – now it's in Los Angeles, they're going to have a lot of extra oxygen in their system. And oxygen gets you high.
Oh, well, no, there's going to be less oxygen because of all the smoke in the air. It'll even out.
Oh, hopefully. Otherwise, we're going to have Kansas City rolling over a completely stoned Rams offense who, like me, thinks they're still in St. Louis. Perhaps I have too much oxygen in my system right now.
Let's hope they don't accidentally fly to St. Louis, because that would be... that would be not good for the enjoyment of this game, because they'll be in two different cities. It just won't work out very well. That just, you know, when you're playing against another football team, generally what you want to do is be in the same city as them. So if they fly to St. Louis, that's going to be a huge problem for them, I think.
I'm going to need to see sources on that.
All right, I'll get them to you. So, all right, so this has been a supersized, a mega sized edition of the Football Absurdity Podcast. Evan, thanks for joining us. Where can people find you? And I mean, do you even have the ability to plug your book that you're working on yet?
Love it. In fact, if you like my meltdown emotional style, the book I'm writing, which is a comedy workbook for teachers, but everyone can read it. The first page I melt down when I can't find facts to support my my argument. I've been finishing that this week. It should be out March 26th at, I don't know if bookstores exist anymore, but Amazon's out there. You can Google Evan Hoovler, and I bet you there's something on Google about me. Yeah.
Evan, what's it called?
I don't have a title yet. Say Teaching with Comedy is the working title.
All right. So March 26th, Evan Hoovler, don't have a name yet. Look for it in your bookstores. Google don't have a name yet.com.
Just Google, just hit enter on Google. Leave it blank, hit enter. Should be the first hit.
Perfect. All right. Mike, you got any books you're plugging?
Yeah, I got four in the works. And, you know, yeah, I obviously look for them on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yeah, so my book, it came out a while ago, but I'll plug it anyways. It seems to have a lot of people that really like it. Just, you know, read it, interpret it the way that you want to. Don't go crazy with it though. It's available pretty much everywhere. It's called The Holy Bible. You can check your side tables in any hotels, and the Gideon's got you a copy.
So. I was about to, you know, I knew you were going to say the Bible, so I wanted to come up with a joke. And my joke was, I think of you every time I'm in a seedy hotel room. So
there you go.
Beating me to everything today.
There you go. So, all right, if you made it this far, you already know. Footballabsurdity.com, FBallAbsurdity is the Twitter account. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Evan, thanks for joining us. It was a blast. You guys have a good one. And now I have to frantically get ready to go to Tahoe. You guys have a great day.
See ya.
Bye.